Like to greet everyone in Jesus' name this morning. For a short devotion this morning, I'm going to be sharing kind of on some things that have been going through my mind the last couple months, actually. And it has to do with the kind of the attitude of Jesus. And I read this in my devotions several months ago in the book of John, and it really stuck with me, and I've still been thinking quite a bit about it, and thought I'd share a few thoughts on that this morning. And we all are well aware of the life of Jesus, and kind of where I'm starting at is where Jesus has just ridden into Jerusalem, and the crowds were praising him, putting down palm branches, and in the disciples' eyes, things looked pretty good. But we all know what happened from there. Jesus was arrested, and from there, he was betrayed by every one of his disciples, pretty much, and the one I thought the most of, especially, is Peter. And, you know, we all know what happened with Peter. He denied Jesus three times, and after promising pretty much absolute commitment, and yet Peter denied Jesus three times, and throughout this whole thing, Jesus is eventually crucified. And kind of where I'm coming in at is I had done a lot of thinking about what I thought the disciples' thoughts were. You know, I had to think Peter probably kind of felt that he had committed the unpardonable sin. He had denied Jesus three times. He swore he didn't know him, and pretty much was just terrified when he ran out. And I'm not sure what the disciples' thoughts were, but it had to be pretty bleak amongst them. And with all those thoughts in mind, I had to think of, you know, Jesus raised from the dead. But I had to think some of the thoughts that went through his mind. I mean, he absolute betrayal from his disciples. The crowds who had been cheering and singing Hosanna all of a sudden were singing a different tune. And Jesus was totally left high and dry, so to speak. And in John 20, verse 19, it says, this is a few days after, it says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews," okay, the disciples were scared, they were hiding in a room, "then it says, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and said unto them," and these four words that Jesus said are kind of what have really struck me. It says, "Peace be unto you." Total forgiveness by Jesus. And, you know, I had to think, if that had been me, what would have I said? Jesus had every reason to be angry with them, to be frustrated with them. Here he'd spent all these 3 years with them, teaching them, and here's kind of how they responded. And he didn't yell at them. He didn't, you know, I had to think, what have I said? You know, I probably would have, like, told you guys. He didn't say, "Where were you when I needed you?" What a bunch of flops. I mean, come on. He didn't do that. He said, "Peace be unto you." Jesus forgave them before the disciples ever even had a chance to ask for it. And just through that whole thing, the attitude of Jesus, one of forgiveness, you know, the very thing the disciples did not have, Jesus offered it to them. Peace. Peace be unto you. And Jesus doesn't just say it once. In verse 20, "And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said unto them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And I just, one thing that I had to think of is the effects of this forgiveness. If Jesus would have showed up and would have chewed out the disciples and said, "Come on, guys, this is ridiculous," how would the disciples have reacted to that? We know how they reacted to Jesus' complete forgiveness. In verse 26, later on, Jesus actually says it again, and this is because Thomas was not there. At the end of that verse, Thomas was with the group, then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." And I get the feeling he kept reassuring these disciples, "I have totally forgiven you, and even though you all deserted me, I still am going to forgive you." And totally forgave them even before they were asked about it. And I had to think of what this did to the disciples. You know, I think especially Peter had to be thinking, you know, if I just had one more chance. And he got that chance. And because of Jesus' forgiveness, and we see what kind of a person Peter turned out to be. He was bold. The disciples were bold. In Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 14, you know, this is where all the disciples, they now had the Holy Ghost. And they were speaking to all these people, and people were amazed. They could understand them in their own language. And some of them were mocking him and said, "These men are full of new wine." And Peter, the man who had just betrayed Jesus, stands up and says, "But Peter, standing up in the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, 'Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words.'" He was no longer the little wimp who had totally betrayed Jesus and had run in total terror. He was a totally new person. And the effects of some of this, as we can see, also in verse 36, Peter loudly proclaims Jesus. He says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." And then in verse 41, we can see the effects of Peter's boldness and the disciples as well. It says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." And that just really struck me. I had to think, how would the disciples have reacted had Jesus approached them in anger? How it would be so easy to do. Jesus had every excuse and every right in our eyes to be angry. And yet he gave peace. He forgave them. And we see the effects of that. The disciples were totally new people. Peter was a new person. He was bold and he gave all he had for Christ. And a few thoughts I had is, are we quenching the Spirit? What are some ways that we might quench the Spirit? Are we willing to give forgiveness before it's even asked of us? And especially I had to think of, with just revival meetings coming up, is there things that God is showing us in our lives or maybe prodding us? What are we doing with that? Are we quenching the Spirit, or are we allowing God to work through us and prepare our hearts for whatever he has for us in the future? That's all I have. Thank you.